As dads, some days we feel like we have all the answers, and some days we feel like we don't have a clue. If that describes you, you're at the right place. This is the All Pro Dad Podcast. We're glad you guys are here. We'll just dive right in with the question of the day, which is what we do every episode. And the question is, what are the three lies that men believe? Now, I think they believe more than three, but we're only going to tackle three.
We only have time for three today.
We only have time for three.
It's true.
So, Buck, well, talk to me about
this. Speaking of lies, I have some things here. Here are some commonly known facts that actually aren't true. They're lies. These are lies, okay? A penny dropped from the top of the Empire State Building will kill you. That's a lie.
False.
Did you know that?
False. Jason, he doesn't believe in... What are they saying?
Well, okay, on Mythbusters, the scientists determined that a penny traveling at terminal velocity cannot penetrate concrete or asphalt. It won't cause serious damage to a person, and even at the speed of sound, will not damage flesh. At
really?
Most, it could sting a little.
At the speed of sound?
Dude, we're going to try it out.
I could understand dropping from the building.
Yeah, we're going to test this.
They're going to shoot a penny. Oh, you don't believe it?
Podcast on the road.
Yeah. No. Stand there. A little bit to the left.
So another one. You lose most of your body heat through your head.
Jason
That's
said before he didn't like that one. He goes, no one cares. That's lame.
Yeah.
Because he has hair.
Yeah.
I have natural.
Yeah. You're surrounded by bald men.
But BJ and I don't have.
We're sitting here freezing
constantly.
To death. Yeah. Jason's cold. Over there all warm and cozy.
Cuddly.
Buck's sweating. What are you talking about?
I know.
Yeah,
I can't really
talk. So I guess that's, maybe I don't believe that one.
My head is experiencing global warming. but it says here, we are often told we lose 90% or about that of our body heat through our head, escaping through our head. But according to the British Medical Journal, now guys, these are British people, okay?
Super smarts.
We may have British listeners.
And that's what I'm saying. They're super smart.
They're super smart.
Or at least they sound.
But you kind of said it
smart.
With the tone of.
No, I meant like, guys, listen.
British.
British
am I right?
People, right?
Am I
British,
right?
British. Am I right? British people, you're really smart for the most part. You just lose about 7 to 10% of your body heat there. Not much more than you would lose through any other exposed part of your body, hand, shoulders, ankles. So, okay. Interesting. Another one. You ready?
I'm ready.
Urinating on jellyfish stings neutralizes them. That's a lie.
Friends says it's the truth.
Well, if it's said on Friends, then so debunked.
I've been peeing on myself forever for no reason.
You get a lot of jellyfish in Oklahoma.
How often is this happening?
There needs to be a reason.
You live in Oklahoma.
So the advice has floated around for decades. If you're stung by a jellyfish, you can neutralize the pain by urinating on it, if you didn't know. But researchers have exposed this as... it's as a lie,
that's
you know,
a big fat
total
one.
Bogus. But applying urine to a jellyfish sting results in the opposite reaction, irritating the active cells and making the sting worse.
I mean, how does this become a thing, right? Who got stung by a jellyfish and said,
you know what?
Somebody please pee on my leg.
You know what? I think if we pee on that, it'll fix it.
This might work.
This happened in Gulf Shores.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Somewhere.
So, yeah. Do you want one more?
No.
No?
No, that's enough. Okay, those are fantastic. Hey, you guys, this ties in perfectly. Watch this transition. What are three lies men believe topic? So well done.
Thank you.
Way to bring that to the table.
Thank you.
Actually, someone else brought it for you, but I'm not bitter. Okay, anyway.
I just read what's on the paper, man.
You're just the eye candy. I get it. Okay. All right. BJ, you wrote this incredible article that so many people... you know, clicked on allprodad.com. And hugely popular. I think we all know why. I mean, guys, we believe lies, right? We talked about that in an earlier episode. Where did you get these three lies from? Like, there's so many lies, like, that guys believe. Where did these three lies come from?
Yeah, I think these really boil down to lies we believe about our identity. And these were lies that I bought into for a long time. And it ultimately... stunted my growth. It kind of kept me from, it I lived in fear. I was kind of afraid to risk, afraid to step out. And most of all, I was just kind of afraid to just sort of naturally be who I am. And so, and I think that's kind of the result of when you buy into these. And one, the thing that I found over time is when I started talking about these, I couldn't believe how many men bought into all three, two of them, at least one of them. Like, they're very common.
Great. So what's the first one?
The first one is, I am what I do. So, and you can look at that in a number of different ways. So you can look at it as, I am my career. I am my job. Therefore, if I am successful, then I'm successful. And then if I do something that the culture deems as valuable, then I am valuable. Or it can even just be looked at as a micro level, like whatever I achieve, my last achievement, that is my identity. My last failure, that's my identity. Mm-hmm. So whatever it is that I do, that's who I am.
Mm. Do you guys relate to that?
Yeah, for sure. Especially my brain went immediately to work, you know, being successful at work, having success at work, the stresses that come along with goals and trying to hit those goals. And I think, you know, that's the easiest way for me to start beating myself up is if I feel like I'm not on track at work and doing the things that I should do, or at least doing them at a level at which somebody is saying, hey, you're doing a really good job. And I feel like that's what it takes. It takes somebody saying, man, you're doing a really good job. Not just like, hey, keep up the good work. No. You're doing a really, really good job. Like, that's what it takes for me to feel, to
for
overcome
you to,
that.
Be,
yeah.
To hear it.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily believe that lie that my worth is found in what I do. And just so everybody knows, and I don't hide this at all. I just haven't said it yet on the podcast till now, but I am a believer. I believe in Jesus. And, you know, I grew up in the church. My parents were very faithful church members. I went to Bible college. I did all of that. And, you know, in my current church now, we absolutely love. And so I'm constantly met with the terminology of, you know, our worth is not found in who we are or what we do. Because if it's found in who I am, then I'm going to fail myself. Like, because I will fail you at some point. I will fail my kids at some point. And so if I find that worth in myself, then I'm only going to fail myself. And so my worth and my identity is found in Christ, who doesn't fail me. And so, and that's proof to me just from my personal experience in life that, you know, God has not failed me yet. And so, and he never will. And so, yeah, that's fortunately for me, that's not one of the lies that I believe, but I have seen really close people in my life believe that. And I think even interestingly enough, I've seen some guys who have retired from work and didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because their identity was so wrapped up in their job that when my friend was finally retired, he was like, what do I do now? And I was like, that was a crossroad that I hope that I never get to, you know, but he was there and I was like, wow, it's impactful.
It's probably been one of the greatest battles of my life, I think, is not getting my worth out of what I do. I am what I do. Jason, I'm the same with you. Like, it's not just enough to go, oh, I did okay today. I need like that. That was great. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. And so that's a weird place to be. It's a weird place to put coworkers and our bosses into, right?
Right.
But I did it and I still can do it. And one of the things I do is speak and write. And so that's so subjective, right? Like, I'll get done, you know, well, how did that go? I don't know. And so I used to, you know, speak at a lot of, you know, I still do. I speak at churches and different marriage events. And I look back 10 years ago and I think I used to pray more for my anxiety than I did for the couples coming. I hate to even say that out loud, but I've seen some growth in this area where I'm like, no, dude, you know, get your heart right there, turn back that way, and then just let the chips you know, fall where they may, you got to be prepped. Like, I want to be prepped. And I want to be a pro at this in terms of being prepared and structuring the message in a certain way. But I've had some growth on that, but it is definitely, definitely the tendency that I'll go to do. And I can tell when I'm not healthy or if when I'm exhausted or when I'm not connecting with other guys or whatever, I can tend to start going. It's a gravitational pull to go that way.
I do want to say this too. I realize that like I kind of sounded a little like holier than thou with my answer.
No,
I think I was thinking like on a macro level, like, you know, but certainly day to day, like, you know, I can sometimes feel that tension of, boy, I did not get enough done today, you know? So like, but I think that kind of plays into more so like my desire to, you know, make my supervisor happy or make my boss happy, you know, with that stuff. But yeah, I think on a macro level.
Yeah, you get, which is great. I mean, I think we're all going to resonate in different levels with this, and it's okay.
Yeah.
BJ, if it's a lie that we are what we do, what's the truth? Like, how does a guy that's hearing this right now going, gosh, I've thought that my whole life, maybe even to the point of going, so that's not true?
Right.
Because it feels like, not all guys, but it feels like how we're wired is to do and to achieve and to provide. And to say to somebody, hey, that's not your worth. You're going, well, it certainly feels like it's my worth.
Right.
So. Right. What's the truth?
Well, that's the thing, is I think like particularly like what career you have, or again, our culture designs assigns value to certain things. It's the reason why I wanted to be a lawyer when I was a kid and growing up, and then took the LSAT, bombed it, thought I wasn't smart. And then I had somebody tell me, you're not wired that way. Like, I can't think of a worse job for you than that. Like, you know, that's just not
a terrible idea.
It's just not what you're made for. It's not what you're designed for. But I wanted to do it because that is what our culture deems valuable. And we assign money too to what we think is valuable, which is entertainment, sales, and you know, like doctor, lawyer, like those are the things that we think are valuable. But I think Buck kind of said it well. It's okay. Your identity is built into the fact that you have a loving creator, this God who made you and made you wonderfully, beautifully, made you with purpose. And that is eternal value. And it's as simple as that. But here's I lived in Annapolis, Maryland, gorgeous little town. And right down in the harbor, there are all these sailboats out in the middle of the water, and they're all tethered to this, you know, these moorings. And if they weren't, the tide would come in and they'd shift them all over the place, and or they would even take them out. But because they're moored in, they're not going to go anywhere. And so that's the thing, is if your identity is moored into what I do, then again, you're as good as your last achievement. You're as bad as your last failure. You're as good as the value that we've assigned your job. This entire post was created off of a talk that Henry Nouwen gave, who was a priest. And he said, when it's tied to that, you're just going to go up and down and up and down. And you're going to feel really good about yourself. You're going to feel really bad about yourself based on all these things, whatever it is you're doing.
I have a question about that too. Would you say like this point, is it solely based on your career, or is it?
Could be either. Could be
anything.
Yeah, it could be what you do. The macro level, I think, is actually, it's my career.
Yeah.
The micro level would be whatever my last achievement was.
Right.
Or failure.
Yeah.
That's important too. And then, okay, if I'm not achieving in my career, if I'm a failure in my career, or how successful am I, you know, like, am I rising the corporate ladder? And Henry Nouwen said, this is what causes us to enter into relationships of destruction. It's like, you see the guys who winning is everything. Like, you know, if you watch The Last Dance, it's like, yeah, Michael Jordan won a lot, but you look at the amount of relationships that like he, you know, like people aren't talking anymore because there are certain people that need to win and they've run over people in order to do it because their value is tied to this. I got to win. I got to be successful. I have to achieve. Therefore, I'm going to jump all over your head in order to get there.
BJ, it's so true. So what's the second lie?
The second lie is I am what people say about me. So, and you kind of heard it in stuff Jason was saying. Yeah. It's okay. It's not enough to just achieve something. I need other people to acknowledge it and say it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's the big one for me out of these three is that, you know, if you're not recognizing that I am, you know, a top tier person or performer, then, you know, it's, I feel bad about myself to an extent. And it's like, how do you live? And, you know, I sometimes even have this dialogue inside my head. How can you expect yourself to be up there? And why do you expect, that's the other question I want to answer for myself is like, why do you expect or need to be up there all the time? Like, why do you need to feel that way? And so, you know, this is the one that resonates for me. And I work really hard. But at the same time, I know me, right? And I know my pitfalls and I know the things I struggle with. And so, this one really resonates.
How does that apply to you as a dad?
Because my kids, I feel like, are a reflection, right, of you. It's like if they're not doing that, I'm not here. If they're not acting this way, I'm not this. If they're not putting these cognitive skills, whether they're cognitively able to do that or not, that's the battle, is that if I'm not bringing them up in a way, or if I'm not raising them in a way, or if they're not accomplishing certain things, then that directly affects and reflects on me as a person. And so, this one just hits for me a little different.
It's not just what people say about you. It's what people say about your kids.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's, I think we can all resonate with that, right? And you think about, you know, with coaches and athletics,
right?
And all that.
It's not healthy.
I'm just agreeing. Yeah, I'm going. Yeah. I get it.
Right.
And you go. I'm just saying. It's just compounding, right?
Yeah.
Like it's. We get it as guys, and then we get married, and then we think it's what my wife says about me, and then it's what my kids say about me. But then, what do people say about my kids?
Right.
Because the way I'm raising them.
Yeah.
Right. They're a reflection.
And for me, like I know my kids, so if they say something about my kids, it's not like. Like I don't feel like I need to defend them because I know them and I feel like okay they're okay, so it's this back and forth, right? It's like no, yeah, I feel like you're talking about me more than anything, not them. It's like I feel like they're okay, and then it's like why do I feel that? Why do I do that?
I'm getting flashes of softball dads. Softball dads are intense. Like. They're like, I got a lot riding on this kid. I'm like, why? Why? Why do you?
That's why I don't coach softball.
What is going on?
Oh my gosh. I remember being at Little League Field and I'm leaning against the fence with this other dad. And I see this coach dad just going nuts on his kid. And this guy kind of says under his breath, he goes, the way I look at it, man, I think my kid's going to have to make a living like normal people.
He's accepting it. He's
He's like, because you're watching it, and when you're stepping back from it, it feels ridiculous, but I think we can all resonate with that. Okay, what's the third one?
The third one is I am what I have. So it's, you know, my possessions. You know, do I have a big house? Do I have that nice car? Do I have the clothes? But it could even be, do I have the American dream? Do I have the perfect looking family? Do I have this, you know, cute wife and sweet kids? You know, am I, we all wearing our matching shirts and, you know, does everything look, you know, we kind of just buy into, it's got to, you know, do I have this kind of perfect image life?
And it may not even be the expensive car and the expensive house, but am I providing for my family enough? Like, you know, well, I just think about, does my family have what they need from the standpoint of our house? Is it big enough? No, I don't need a mansion, but like, is it big enough for us to maximize our family unit? And I'm just like, I hear myself say that kind of stuff out loud. I'm like, what are you saying? What, you know,
which is why we sit out loud, because we don't address it. Yeah. Right. And we talked an episode about having to have free fun with your kids.
Yeah.
And we all talk about just the power that our kids aren't wanting it. But I think that can be for me. I don't know about you guys, but like, am I providing the big experiences? Like, you know, you see on social and somebody's like, hey, we're riding elephants in Brazil. Yeah. I don't know if you can ride elephants in Brazil, but these people are doing it.
I don't know.
I don't know. Probably not. Or scorpions that are life size. I don't know how that works.
Science. Am I right?
Am I right? But I think it's even that. And then it's all relative, right? And it feels, like you said, it feels so silly coming out. But it's just what we believe it though, right?
Oh, yeah. We start comparing. I mean, that's the thing with the last one. It's, you know, when people see what people say about us too, is we start comparing. We see ourselves as falling short. Mm-hmm. I fall short of, you know, Ted over there who gets to go on this vacation, who is constantly like looking perfect.
Ted.
I fall short. Well, I'll tell you what, a big thing for me is I'll be driving along and a guy will pull up next to me and he'll be in a Mercedes or something. And I'll immediately think, you think you're better than me?
I'm just driving.
You want to go, guy? One time I rented a car and they gave me a Tesla. They're like, here. I did the mystery car thing and they gave me a Tesla. And I literally was driving it around apologetic, like, to people. I'm like, I'm not this guy. Like, I don't, you know.
I don't think I'm better.
Yeah, don't think. But I'm constantly, like, that's always my first. So if you're in a Mercedes and you pass me, just know that's going to be the first thought that drops me. And then I'm going to have an internal battle. Like, dude, the guy just has a Mercedes. Just relax.
That's okay. He's probably leased it.
It's all right. Yeah, your identity is not in your Honda Odyssey. Like 2007 Honda Odyssey.
So, all right, you guys, bottom line, I think what we're landing here is you are well made no matter what people say.
Yeah.
I think that's what you put on the post. And I just thought that was brilliant.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like somebody listening might be like, well, I don't believe in God and all that. And I understand that. But the question I would ask that person is okay, then what are you mooring your identity to? Mm-hmm. And is it solid? Or are you mooring it to, are you attaching it to something that's going to keep you bouncing all over the place? Because if you do that, then it affects the way that you look at yourself, if you're comfortable with yourself, your self-confidence, and your kids are going to pick up on that. And again, we talked about in other podcasts is your view of yourself and how comfortable you're with yourself and your own identity. If you're able to achieve that and be solid in it, then it's going to give your kids permission to be themselves and a solid identity to themselves. So what are you passing on? Are you solidly into something or are you drifting all over the place?
Well, and I think if you're placing your identity solely in the opinions of other people, then your identity and your worth is directly related to someone else's mood.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
And so, that's not a constant thing. That's not something you can control.
And their interest.
Yeah, and their interest. You know?
Yeah, so they're not even interested in you. Right.
It's like, you know, I believe absolute truth exists, and that's in Jesus. And like, that's what I choose to put my identity in fully. And so, because that's a constant, you know, that can't change. And so, yeah.
And when I think about this, BJ, what you're just saying, how's it impact us as a dad? Because this is the All Pro Dad podcast. And just thinking through, how's it impact as a dad going? When you're chasing being that person, when you're chasing, I am what people say about me, when you're chasing, I am what I have. Wow, that's a lot. Talking about not being available to your kids because you're thinking about those things or trying to provide for them, right? Yeah. It puts this distance and this stress because even – ironically, preparing for these podcasts, you know, I'm stressed beyond belief. I want this to be good. Kids, get away. I'm talking about a podcast. You know, there's just moments like that. I'm just going, you know, even my daughter goes, Dad, you doing okay? You know, she's older. She's like, you okay? Yeah, I'm trying to tell people how to be good dads. Back off. You know, it is, but it is the irony of it all, right? So it's time for the pro move of the day.
Yeah. BJ's got it today.
I think, I mean, we kind of talked about it. It's, I think you got to ask yourself the question, what am I tying my identity to? And is it something that's solid? And you got to find something solid. And if it's not God, what is it? And for me, it's God, and I haven't found anything else that's solid.
No.
It's good. You guys, thank you. Thanks for being real about this. This isn't easy stuff to talk about. Dads, we hope you can be real with yourself and some other guys. We hope you have those guys in your life. You know, Jason, I just am having a little bit of a moment. You were going, it sounds so crazy when I say it out loud, and I just think, wow, that's just the magic of this, right?
Yeah.
So guys that are listening, we hope you're going to say this out loud. Somebody's safe. If you go, I don't have that person, that's a worthy endeavor to find the person that would allow you to be real.
And Buck's always available.
Buck is always available. Can you give him your text, your cell phone?
55
No, you can't do that.
It'll be in the show notes.
Bob Goff does that. He gives that, right? Surely not. Surely that can't work for him
it's
anymore.
It's got to be a Google number.
it's got to be a Google number.
That's a Google number.
Absolutely. And with that, we hope you've been encouraged to continue to be an All-Pro Dad. Thanks for listening to the All-Pro Dad podcast. All-Pro Dad is the fatherhood program of the nonprofit Family First. Along with our motherhood program, iMom, we exist to help you love your family well. Subscribe to our daily email, the All-Pro Dad Play of the Day, by going to allprodad.com/subscribe and get daily, powerful, and practical fatherhood tips in your inbox. The All-Pro Dad podcast is hosted by me, Ted Lowe, produced by Bobby Lewis.